do we exist? Were we created with a purpose, or are we just here by chance? What are we to believe about life, faith, and worldview? Welcome to The Universe Next Door, focusing on answers to the questions we all consider. Join us as we seek to see a generation captivated and transformed by the truth of Christianity. This is The Universe Next Door.
And actually the original host of the Universe Next Door podcast. And it started as a radio show. I think it was 05 or maybe 2006. But super pumped to have him on. He's going to be talking about DNA. He's going to get into some detail on new discoveries with DNA and also a lot of really cool resources. The Discovery Institute and some other guys are making like some animated videos, because DNA and anything related, like when you think about it, it probably just hurts your brain. Anything related to intelligent design, science, all that. You might think you have to have a PhD or be like a total nerd to understand any of it, but that isn't true. So they're making these videos in order to make these concepts more simple to understand. So a lot of resources on that. But first, make sure you hit follow wherever you're listening. And when you hit follow on Apple or Spotify or whatever, also hit notify. And when you hit the little notify thing, you'll be alerted of new episodes when they come out, which is normally Monday nights at 6 p.m. So don't forget to hit follow and share an episode with a friend. And that actually is probably the number one way to help this podcast grow, to help us equip more people to be confident in defending the Bible, and also thinking through what you believe. That's something I like to emphasize, is actually thinking through what you believe and why you believe it. There's so many things that we believe that we've held on to for so long, and we don't really know why once we actually stop to think about it. And we become uncomfortable when we hear something different. We might not know how to respond. So I think as a regular practice, just thinking through what you believe, demonstrating what you believe to yourself is very, very important. And it will probably change your life in regard to your faith and your understanding of it. So if you hit follow, share an episode, it's the best way to help us to do that. But otherwise, let's get into our interview with Dr. Tom Woodward. Dr. Tom Woodward is not only a personal friend and mentor of mine, but he is also a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, and he is the founder of the Universe Next Door podcast and radio show. Dr. Woodward, how are you?
I'm having a blast being back with you. Nick, you're doing a fantastic job. Keep it up.
Thank you. The nice thing about being by myself in an office is no one can throw tomatoes or anything at me if they don't like it. So there is that. And when I introduced you, I also meant to mention you're a speaker, of course, at Apologetics, Inc. You were the president of the C.S. Lewis Society for many years, which is now Apologetics, Inc. But I wanted to say I watched your talk at the conference a week or two ago, the Apologetics, Inc. conference, and it was awesome. And it also made me think we need to do another episode where you just talk about Nietzsche for like an hour.
Oh yeah. Bring it on. I would love to get into the boxing ring with Friedrich Nietzsche. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it certainly would be fun. Of course, you studied under a world expert of Nietzsche when you were back in college. Princeton, right?
Yeah. Walter Kaufmann was the number one expert. His book, Nietzsche, and the subtitle is Philosopher, Psychologist, and Antichrist. Notice the third term. I mean, so Nietzsche's like standing against Christ and for kind of ruthless atheism was one of the themes of the course. Not that he was trying to convince us necessarily, but that we would understand Nietzsche and be able to either agree, disagree on whatever point. And so sometimes if I want to do a sanctified name drop, I'd just say, well, yeah, I studied Nietzsche under Walter Kaufmann, and the older philosophers are, what? And so it's kind of a fun moment. But I'd love to do a program on that. That'll be great. But we have other explosions to talk about, right?
Yes. Today, I know you wanted to get into DNA, which I'm very excited to do. And I did want to ask you while you're here, because you did the show for a very long time, every week, week after week after week for years, like almost two decades. Do you have a favorite episode that stands out to you the most from that time?
Well, that's tough. I mean, having William Lane Craig come on, every time we had Casey Luskin from Discovery Institute. I mean, he delivers more information per square inch, you know, per minute, just incredible. I would have to say that Doug Gresham, the son of C.S. Lewis, having him on live from England where he was doing some events. That was just beyond belief. So we're thankful for that. I could probably go on, Chamber, on for 3 minutes about my favorite episodes, but I think that your episodes are so tremendo that I've had, like, I don't know how many, half a dozen, a dozen people tell me, oh, I'm so excited, I'm prayerful for Apologetic Inc. And, oh, by the way, that Nick Shalda is incredible. So just, you're just on a great path. Keep it up.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. So DNA, why don't you take this and run with it? Because you have all kinds of new information, no pun intended, but you have a lot of new information about DNA, new things coming onto the surface. So what's going on?
Sure. Yeah. So of course, DNA and the structure of DNA, we have a DNA model that anybody who wants to go to our website, it's a subsidiary. It's one branch or arm of the Apologetics Inc. ministry. It's called DNA and Beyond. So if you want to write in just DNA and then the word and, A-N-D, and the word beyond.org. And if you just click on our model, our product, and there's a model there that we do a demo, just 2 minutes long, and you can just see where we have produced a physical structural duplicate with colored plastic and embedded magnets that opens and closes like a zipper. You can twist it. You can put it on a table and play with it. And it even has the on-off switching system, the famous methyl tags. It's carbon with three hydrogens. It looks like a Mickey Mouse head with an extra ear. And those little methyl tags, as you know, Nick, are fun to either stick into the little spots where they go or pop out. And I think you know how they function. With the DNA model, they are the on-off switches, right?
Yeah, which is amazing to think about. I mean, it's like we're studying our own bodies. That's just pretty like mind-blowing. I know you have a lot to get into, but that, yeah, and that model is incredible. I have it.
So what we're doing is we're showing how that little teeny model with 21 rungs is like a midget micro gene. It's like the smallest imaginable gene compared to most of the genetic blueprint that is just packed. It's tightly wound around 30 million spools inside the nucleus, and get this, of every cell in your body, with maybe one exception, the mature red blood cells. They say, we can get along without the DNA. Every other cell says, you're crazy. We need the library. We need the whole hard drive. And so DNA is just like a shout of divine creation. It's not just like a whisper or like, you know, a suggestion. It is just an explosion of clues. And I was wondering if I could just talk about the headline news in DNA, several explosions that are happening. Very exciting, very encouraging, right under our nose. So is that an okay plan for the day?
Yes, I think that's an awesome plan.
Okay, so one of the explosions of DNA, and again, there are so many ways that we could approach this, but just DNA is like a digital equivalent of John Loves Mary spelled on the sand at Clearwater Beach or any beach in the world. And if you were to stroll along a beach and if you see John Loves Mary or you know, Jim Loves Louise or whatever, you know, we would instantly infer, that is conclude, and unless we're like not thinking clearly, an intelligent agent, some person, maybe John, maybe Mary, maybe someone who wanted to encourage them to become friends. Okay, so the idea of a message or information or code, because DNA has a three-letter word system. Yes, DNA has words, and there's a string of three-letter words, and each of those words is a special code for a building block of all the proteins in our body. The building blocks are amino acids, but the amino acids just don't float together and hold hands. They're put together by the code structure of DNA. And I know this starts to sound a little complex, but just think of it as maybe pasta letters that you see in some soups instead of regular pasta. I've seen a can of tomato soup with pasta letters. And if you saw the pasta letters form a message, like if you came out and in your bowl, it said, Nick, take out the garbage, spelled in pasta letters in your bowl. And would you maybe think that they just floated to the surface by random action? Or would conclude that? Would you conclude something else?
Yeah, the best explanation would be that somebody put those letters there intentionally.
Maybe your wife.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, Nick, take out the garbage.
Yeah.
So the idea of a sequence of letters that spells out a meaningful, literally packed with information, message. And these messages for genes aren't just a couple dozen letters. They're of literally hundreds and hundreds of letters long. And they have to be in exact order. Otherwise, the protein will not be built correctly. It's a blueprint. It's a kind of a set of instructions. And so that's why we call this, really inspired by Stephen Meyer's fantastic book, Signature in the Cell, we call this God's signature, or even Jesus's signature in your cell. And there is no evidence of a undirected, unintelligent, kind of random, kind of throw the dice process that can put together large quantities of digital information. So if Bill Gates can describe DNA as something way, way beyond any computer code his people have ever written, what does that say about DNA? Well, just it leaps off the page and just says, I am created for a fantastic purpose. And so the loving writing of a signature of God in every one of your and my 35 trillion cells is a shout of loving care and brilliant design all wrapped together in that hard drive. I just think it's amazing. But go ahead.
No, I agree. I was going to say there was a debate with John Lennox and Richard Dawkins. They'd done a number of them, but John Lennox picked up Richard Dawkins' book, which I think was The God Delusion at the time. And he said, if you were to pick up this book and look through it, you would assume that there's a mind behind it. You wouldn't assume that this information just gathered itself out of nowhere.
Exactly. It was not just a bunch of letters that kind of floated down from heaven and just landed in a peculiar shape. Oh, there's a message. No, the message of DNA is so brilliant. Now, here's where the plot thickens. We have found out that there is this secondary, not just DNA information, but there's another layer of information, which we alluded to. We mentioned it briefly just a moment ago. And those are these methane molecules. When they lose one of their hydrogens, they become methyl or methyls. Sometimes they're called methyl tags. I like to use that expression because it reminds me of a suitcase. When you tag it, it knows, or at least the handlers at the airport know where that suitcase goes, right? It's a tag that denotes its destination. DNA is a bit like a suitcase. It needs a tag. In this case, the methyl tag is not telling it where to go. It's basically saying, take a nap if the methyls are attached at the right spot, or if they're plucked out, like you would pluck a carrot out of the ground, put it into your salad, wash it up and use it in soup. That carrot in the ground that plucked out, if you pluck out the two methyl tags that are like working together next door to each other, guess what? The gene wakes up. And then the cell is saying, okay, we're going to go ahead and take you out and we're going to run around the track. We're going to put you to work. And so the DNA in 35 million spots in one cell, there are 30 to 40 million spots that are literally methylated, telling those genes that you are switched off, take a rest. And the rest of the genes in those cells are told, okay, you're good. And so, I mean, this is really amazing to me to know how the secondary language, so that now we're two codes, but then they found that there was a histone code that is actually a combination of letters, and that opens and closes the DNA for reading at the right time, right place. And then they say now that there may be another 220 or more codes above those codes. Wow. In other words, the cell is jam-packed. It is like brilliantly designed, but it's way, 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 way beyond any supercomputer that we've ever imagined. And Berkeley Grider, let me quote him. he says it very bluntly. He says the cell is a supercomputer, and the number of functions, information processing functions that happen in a tiny, like microcosmic, like a cubic nanometer, those functions are so brilliantly designed and so compacted that the cell, the interior of the cell, is trillions times trillions more efficient and advanced than the latest iPhone.
Wow.
And when he said that, I was stunned. And we're actually getting ready to publish, I think, in probably about the time Thanksgiving comes, or maybe right before Christmas, we should have our interview that you and I did as a podcast, and the visual, that is the video version of that, will be uploaded. I'm excited about that. That's our private explosion of information through Berkeley Grider.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, would you not agree that one of the challenges of teaching DNA is to bring it down to the average person's level?
Well, yeah, I think that is one of the challenges, because people think about DNA or anything related, and it just seems like you have to have like a PhD to talk about it. And I'm actually really glad you're here to talk about this, not only for that reason, but also because I think there's many people who think the more they discover about DNA or, you know, anything related, the more, the less need we're going to have for God. Like the more they discover this stuff, the more we don't need God anymore. But it's actually the complete opposite. Every time we make a new discovery regarding DNA or anything related, it just, we have more and more things to have to explain that really cannot be explained outside of an intelligent designer or a creator.
I agree 100%. And I would say
When were methyl tags discovered? How long ago?
That's a good question. And I haven't studied the history of it in detail, but I believe that scientists, when they discovered these additional methane molecules, kind of like linked to DNA, they said, what? And for about 10 years, they were just saying, is this just kind of like a little bit of dirt that got in there, methyl dirt that kind of like something got scuffed up? They were clueless for a while. And then they realized, oh, wait a minute. Those that are methylated, that have the methyl molecules hugging them, literally attached to their backbone, they are actually inactive. And then they looked at those genes that were active, and they couldn't find any methyl molecules huddled on their backbone. And they were like saying at this point, oh, so this is like an on-off switching system. It's like the director of an orchestra. You need the orchestra, right? But the orchestra needs to be told both through their, you know, obviously their music in front of them on the music stand, but the director has to set the tempo, and he has to tell these guys to be quiet, and then he motions with his baton to these guys, come in strong. And so this is like the director of the DNA orchestra, but then there's more. It's like the guy offering something on TV, but there's more. Say that 200 times and you're getting the picture of a cell.
Wow.
But isn't it typical that people say, you know, a lot of people who are trending, let's say, agnostic, atheist, kind of materialist in their philosophy, they're saying follow the science. But I think what we can say as Christians is like a resounding yes, follow the science, and it will be a bridge to Jesus. It will be like an on-ramp to faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, it's follow the science, except for the origin of life problem, except for this in the fossil record, except for all of these areas.
Oh, you know, that's funny.
Follow it. And that's just only leads one place.
Yeah. And that's why we're excited that what Discovery Institute has done recently is nothing less than a miracle. And we were inspired by them, by the way, to jump in and to do our Unit 6 on our DNA and Beyond platform. But let me just say what Discovery Institute has done, which is revolutionizing this area so that, let's say, preteens, junior high, or teenagers, let's say, you know, 15 above, can completely grasp all the major issues through a visual channel that has been set up by Discovery Institute. And it's called The Long Story Short. And I think we've used that phrase. Haven't you used that phrase on occasion?
Oh, yeah.
Like, long story short. I mean, I use it from time to time to say, hey, you know, I don't have a lot of time. Let me just cut to the chase. Let me boil it down to just a simple statement. Long story short. So what Discovery Institute has done, and so this, these are all new. They've just been popping out 2 months. And I know you were heavily researching other key areas related to this, but can I give you a homework assignment, Nick?
Yes. I love that.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed the hesitation there. You got so much teaching going on. It's crazy. Okay. So here's your homework assignment. Here's a homework assignment for everybody listening to this podcast. Okay. So this will blow you away. And what we can do is we can actually put up on Apologetics Inc. I will ask the digital team to do it today. I did a list of what I call Dr. Woodward's recommendations, top resources on Darwinism and intelligent design. And if you get into the heart of it, I call these the newest spectacular videos. The newest spectacular videos. I put down long story short. And these are just, it's a major new series. And they're short. When I say short, 5 to 10 minutes. I think that's very ideal for busy people that we have so much to handle each day. And these are basically using a very clever, fun to follow cartoon figure and just brainy. I love the combination of brainy, but when you make it fun and easy to understand and kind of a little zany humor, dash of humor here and there about every 5 seconds, then that makes it, you know, hard to turn off. Mm. So the long story short videos are a massive, unparalleled breakthrough in learning about DNA, fossils, evolutions, problems, evidence for design. And the Codes of Life just came out. That was the one that came out. I think it was the early September. And so that's probably the top video. So if anybody wants to even just do a Google search or just go to YouTube and just type up in long story short Codes of Life and just it'll blow you away. So that's your homework assignment. I expect it to be a report to be turned in by December 15th. Okay.
I'm looking at it right now. Actually, these do look really interesting.
Yeah. And so along with that, and like they were developing that, of course, starting about a year ago, they already had 10 Science Uprising videos. So let me just mention, that's another explosion in DNA and the general topic of design, intelligent design versus, standard neo-Darwinian theory. So these Science Uprising videos, that's not a cartoon format. It's actual people on the street, actors, bits and pieces of famous making their presentation. So the Science Uprising videos, I've had my students in the intelligent design class at Trinity College, where I've been teaching 35 years. I've had the students I force them to sit and they're not just like, oh my goodness, I have to watch this. In 10 seconds is, oh, I get to watch this because they're loving it. The snarky humor and the clever turnaround, I won't even spoil the plot, but I'll just say every one of the Science Uprising videos are fantastic. So we have two series, Long Story Short and Science Uprising. And I would say, that's the breakthrough of the decade, I would say. But then there's more. Are we ready?
Ready.
For the next explosion? So we have in the last several years and last really a year and a half, especially, we've been perfecting our own physical resources that are ready to go along with fossils. We have had an opportunity to present through my students, and you've been one of my students at Trinity. So you've seen us, work with a model and then kind of do a role play where we're talking about DNA. So we have had, I would say, the most wonderful opportunity pop into view. And that is we have 400 scholarships that have been made available by donors for people to receive one of our 38-inch long DNA models and at least two, sometimes three fossils. And we provide a short course, online course that can be completed easily in 1 week. And we provide the means and the coaching so that anyone who wants to get those resources, that kit, that toolkit to explain the scientific evidence for God, they can do that for a vastly reduced price. It normally would be $175 retail, but these scholarships, 400 of them have been donated over the last 3 months, and now we can make that available for $35.
Wow.
So that's a, you know, like a 75% reduction. I'd say that we're making some progress in supplying these at an affordable price. And we just ask those who receive them, and there would be just whatever the shipping would be on top of that. But we're asking those who receive them just be excited and excited enough to watch the videos. You know, kind of follow through some of the instruction and then report back in 6 months what happened, you know, as they took it to Starbucks or showed it to friends at the beach or maybe shared it to some youth at their church or anything. So we are trying to expand the scope of literally sharing this good news with others. And I think that's a breakthrough that is pretty, pretty thrilling.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have also gone public. Can I go ahead and just say that our website is no longer Stealth, you know, Pro Intelligent Design. We were not that we were on purpose Stealth. We were just trying to keep DNA and Beyond as broadly appealing as possible. Public schools included, which of course sometimes they can, but so often they're not permitted to go into the origin issues and cover all sides of the origin of DNA. So we decided, this is about 7 or 8 months ago, that we're just going to go ahead and add another unit. We call it Unit 6. That was Stan Musial's number. I don't know if you ever heard of Stan Musial. He was the slugger for the St. Louis Cardinals and actually batted over 400 once and had the highest you know, average. So 6 is a really kind of a famous number if you're from St. Louis. But the number 6, unit number 6, is the unit that has just been added up. So when you go onto our website, if you want to just go through that curriculum, you can do that. We have a special, really competitive rate on that. If you get our model, the scholarship version, even, you get that whole online curriculum, including Unit 6, all free of charge. It's like going to, let's say, a special DNA academy and completing the study, and then you're good to share. Unit 6 asks the question, what are the reasons for believing that DNA points to intelligence, points to a higher creative power, a creator almost beyond our imagination? And so we bring out all kinds of issues and discussions. And so, Nick, let me ask you, do you think it's legitimate for science to consider intelligent causes? Or does that shut down science? Some people say that I'm going to stir the pot a little bit. Some people say, oh, if you bring in the God hypothesis, then that shuts down science. Because then if we don't understand something, we just say God did it. So if someone said that to you, how would you reply? Just curious.
Well, I would suggest that the atheist or somebody with a totally non-supernatural view, they can't really make an appeal to induction, meaning that they can't say the future will be like the past without begging the question and saying the future will be like the past because the past was like the past. And so in order to do science, the atheist has to function solely on faith. So I would probably point that out to them, that you can't do science without faith. And people who made the biggest discoveries of all time, Isaac Newton, Francis Bacon, Blaise Pascal, I mean, you could go on and on. these guys recognized that there was a design and order to the universe, that things were uniform. And that's why they were able to be free to make the discoveries that they made, like gravity, for example. They recognized a pattern in the universe, that it was uniform, that it was designed. So they weren't starting from nothing.
Very good. Very good. I think I hire you as my assistant professor of DNA studies. I'm impressed. So, yeah, well, and this is, I might add this, if someone is charging the intelligent design conclusion with being non-science, we would say that, no, that's exactly what SETI is doing right now. SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which is scanning radio emissions, you know, analyzing the pattern of static coming out of those stars, you know, and galaxies that are burning through their, you know, the fusion process inside the star. And they're sending out like these kind of radio emissions. But if we suddenly heard something like a Morse code, you know, you know, dots and dashes, or as in the movie Contact, I think you may have seen that with Jodie Foster.
I know of it.
Yeah, yeah. Playing the atheist astronomer Ellie Haraway in that late 90s movie. She gets this kind of pattern of prime numbers, you know, 1, 2, 3, 7, 11, 17, and on through 101. And in our lesson 6, in our unit 6, I should say, we refer to, you know, that kind of like fictional version, but it parallels with what's really going on in the SETI scientific group that are working on this issue. And, you know, all power to them if they discover a signal that is identified as intelligent. But if the pattern manifests a specificity, which is just like DNA, which cannot be explained by raw matter in motion, by the forces of nature, we know that nature can do things that have regularity. But the thing about DNA, it's not regular. It's like A, B, A, B, A, B, and just keep continuing that. No, if there's 12,000 digits in a Titan protein gene, then you know that there's 12,000 letters that had to be set in correct order. So you need 12,000 instructions getting those letters in exactly the correct order, just like a message from outer space. So what we argue in our Unit 6, and we give other examples of it, is that intelligent causation can be positively identified. And if DNA is like, you know, feed it into the identification system and see if it's intelligently produced, it doesn't just pass with flying colors. It's like 12 trillion times flying colors. And so we view the induction or the conclusion of design, you might say, it is like an inference to design, then ask the question, who is the designer? And if you're talking about DNA, there is only one intellect that is fathomably able to do a living system that requires not only over 400 genes to run a simple cell, and it's probably more like 2,000 genes to run a robust, you know, healthy, vital cell. But you have to account for all the other codes that have been discovered sitting on top of DNA at higher levels throughout the cell. I mean, it's like nature is just in a chorus, a hallelujah chorus, shouting or singing, I am designed for a purpose.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. And it's getting more and more difficult for people to look at intelligent design and intelligent design writers and just kind of try to write it off as pseudoscience now, because at first, you know, 30 years ago, whatever it might have been, they would say, oh, they don't have any peer-reviewed articles. Well, now that's no longer an issue. You have these books that even guys like Jordan Peterson and very big intellectual superstars are saying, this is one of the best books I've ever read. He said that about Stephen Meyer's God Hypothesis. And so it's getting more and more difficult. You have guys like David Gelernter, David Berlinski, guys who you can't say have a religious motivation. And I just think that the work they're doing is incredible, and it is just becoming so much more difficult to try to pick apart.
Yeah. And even in our, again, if I can just do a plug for our Unit 6 in our DNA curriculum at dnaandbeyond.org, what we're doing is we're literally parting, just like you did. I love what you just shared. That was so powerful. The Yale professor, Gelertner, David Berlinski, by the way, trained at Princeton with a very rigorous PhD in philosophy and mathematics. So these are not dummies, but they are not advocates of Judeo-Christianity. They've registered, okay, I'm over here, I'm over there, but they're not in the Christian camp. But even they are proclaiming sometimes intensity and even occasionally ferocity. I mean, they are just like fighting to be heard because they said the evidence is way, 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 way beyond overwhelming. And it's time that the world wake up before it's too late to just deal with this. And Thomas Nagel, the famous philosopher who wrote Mind and Cosmos, we talk about him specifically and actually have a picture carefully and a little, you know, kind of story of him and a little bit about his background. And then if you go to the Digging Deeper section, we actually have 20 quotes from his book, and we have 14 other scholars besides those few that are quoted in our lesson itself. We're thrilled that by the grace of God, we've been able to put together the So What unit. You know, we are masterfully, brilliantly, super intellectually designed. And all the evidence is shouting it and singing it at triple fortissimo. I'm just excited. So thank you for letting me come on and share some of the headline news.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a lot of fun. Like I said, we're going to have to do this soon. DNA again or Nietzsche. I mean, you are.
Or both.
Or both at the same time.
I'll figure that out.
Oh, that would be really awesome. Before we go, is there anything, I mean, you gave us a lot to look forward to. I'm going to put all that in the description, by the way, so you can just click it. But is there anything else we can look forward to before we go?
Well, I just think the excitement is there that we would just ask everyone to pray as we are expanding out this ministry. And we call it basically, you know, follow the science, God's bridge to Jesus. We believe that the scientific evidence from fossils, DNA, and so many other fields, you know, the work of Michael Behe, you know, irreducibly complex machines that have been turning up right and left by the thousands in each cell. I mean, God is just allowing a symphony of beautiful music of creation to resoundingly build and build and build. And it's just breaking out in a way that I couldn't have predicted just 5 years ago. But let's pray that I'm praying that God would raise up initially about another 400 people. It could be those even listening to this podcast who are fascinated. They may not know much of anything, but I had a gal who's just a beloved. She and her husband were in my class, Sunday school class at a church in Tampa Bay where I taught for years. And they just said, yeah, send us one of those models. We'd like to be a part of this process. We're going to take them to those fifth graders that we teach at our church every week. And she's studying the handouts and taking these little, you know, micro course things. And she's taking the ball and running with it. And she is just having far too much fun. And we guarantee that God will work in a mighty way if we would just pray and just take the plunge.
Amen. And that's an awesome story because anyone can do this. And that's the most important. You don't need a platform of 10,000 people. Everybody knows people.
Exactly. So, exactly. Awesome. Well, thanks for letting me come alongside and be a part of your amazing podcast.
Well, thank you for returning. I hope you have a blessed week.
Yes, and you too.
Well, thank you for listening to The Universe Next Door. Make sure you check out those resources. And don't forget to hit follow so you can be alerted of our next episode. And otherwise, we hope that you have a blessed week. We'll see you back here Monday night at 6 p.m. on The Universe Next Door.